Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11. It is an unfortunate truth that Americans tend to be a little bit less than well acquainted with their Bibles. And we need to understand the things surrounding our faith in a way that the world does not, because it's hard to enter into something in the right spirit unless we know what God really wants us to do and how He wants us to do it. And we brought many messages on the Lord's Supper when we observed this ordinance, but it's so interesting to me that I can go back to passages of Scripture and just kind of redig, revisit, recall, and find just new morsels of truth that God would have us to understand. You know, the Bible is not a static book. It just, the further you walk inside of its realms, the wider and the higher and the deeper and, you know, the more awesome it becomes. And I think when we get into eternity, into His presence, into God's presence, we will find Him just that way. Inexhaustible. Always new to be discovered. There's just going to be an awesome time in glory. Well, chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians is where we have set forth for our admonition, our instruction, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper and the observance within the church. Of course, it is instituted by our Lord Himself in the Gospels, and we can glean a lot there. But what we see in the Corinth church is that there were a lot of problems with that. And because they were doing it wrong... Paul takes pen in hand and he says, you know what, you're missing the point. And I'm afraid sometimes we miss the point. Yes, the elements depict the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. Yes, they are set forth. But there's a center in it all that we might be prone to miss. And so this morning I want us to kind of visit this passage, and I want us to see in its proper setting what Paul was really trying to accomplish in getting these people on the right page spiritually when they approach the table. So I want to direct your attention today to verse 17. Typically we begin our reading about the Lord's Supper in verse 23. But in the text, verse 17 is where the issue is taken up. Now to set the stage, understand when he says in verse 17, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not," what we find as we read this book called Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, is that it is a letter Paul wrote to a church who had evidently sent him a list of questions. They asked him questions. They were asking him various things about divorce and remarriage. They were asking him about these veils that women were wearing. They were asking him about the resurrection, about the gifts of the Spirit. And here, they're asking him about the Lord's Supper. So when he says in verse 17, "Now in this," or "Now this that I declare unto you here," this question, as for, it's like he's done with the one, he just started, he's done with talking about veils and long hair and short hair and all that stuff in chapter 11, and he moves into a new section, and he says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not." They thought they had it going on. Yeah, Paul, we're celebrating the Lord's Supper. We're keeping the ordinances central in our church. But they were doing it in a unworthy fashion. Now what I want you to understand is that as we look at this passage, he's starting with a somewhat of a rebuke. And it is in that context that he sets forth those words we're very familiar, "For that which I have received of the Lord I declare unto you." And that passage is so precious to us. But hopefully from today on out, our minds will see it in its proper setting. Verse 17 says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse." He's saying that's what they're doing. They're coming together in not for the better. And you know what? The implication is what? That we're supposed to be coming together this morning around this table for the better. You know what God wants? He wants us to get better and better and better. God is not about you being happy with who you are or me being happy with who I am. You being happy with where you are or me being happy with where I am, God wants us to go from victory to victory. God wants us to get more like Jesus. Now, what you have to understand is that that is a truth that's central in our faith. But we live in America, so we figure we get our salvation situation covered, and we're good. And we move on as if, well, that's done. I can go do something else. We treat it as if it's making the bed in the bedroom. Well, the bed's made, so we can go on now and go work on the kitchen. Or we got the lawn mowed. Now we can go and sit and watch the game. We look at our faith as if it's somehow disconnected to our everyday life, and that is not how it is to be. So when we come back together week after week, we're supposed to be leaning in, saying, what do I get this week? What can I glean? What can I take with me? What can change me a little bit more into the image of Christ? The Bible says, whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, and he has provided means to make that happen. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the fellowship of the saints, the ordinances. He says, when you're coming together, Corinthians, you're coming together for the worse, not for the better. And it's not supposed to be that way. Verse 18 says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, he says, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it, verse 19, for there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now notice this. This is context. You're coming together for the Lord's Supper. And I hear that there are divisions among you. Now these are social divisions. If you read your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 3, he references that there was some divisions that were spiritual divisions. Some saying, I'm of Apollos, was an eloquent speaker. Some were saying, I'm of Paul. Some were saying, I'm of Peter. Some were saying, I'm of Christ. They were the super spiritual. Well, I'm of Christ, you know. And everybody was standing around and divided amongst them. And he said in those cases, he says, these things ought not so to be. He said, who is Paul? Who is Peter? Who is Apollos? We're just servants by whom you believe. But the fact is, he's not talking about those divisions here. He's talking about different ones. He's saying, you're coming together and there are divisions among you. He explains it in the next few verses. Look at verse 20. It says, when you come together in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one of you taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat in? You see, when they were coming together, it was the haves and the have-nots. It was the poor and the rich, and they were all in the room. And the rich thought, well, we have privilege. We can go first. And they were treating the Lord's Supper in such a way as to really desecrate it. Now that's the context with which he gives us the passage on this issue of celebrating the Lord's Supper. And some things I want you to see. There was a social nature to their division. But he says something very interesting that we might be prone to miss. He says, I partly believe it, verse 18. Look at verse 19. You may want to underline it for your future to remember this, because this is really key to it. He says, for there must be also heresies among you. Did you see what he said? Now, you may read that and say, well, it's King James English. It might be a little difficult to understand. Maybe it's the wording. But no, he says, there must be heresies among you. He says, I partly believe there are divisions because there must be. Now, what I'm saying is this. As we go through this morning's message, I want you to see three things. First of all, I want you to see that our faith must be challenged. Your faith will never amount to anything if it's never challenged. He's actually suggesting that, yes, there are divisions in that church right now, and they're just social divisions. Yes, there. He mentioned the other ones a moment ago, mentioned the spiritual ones, but he's saying there must be heresies. And why? That those that among you are approved may be made manifest. Here's the point. A faith that is never challenged is not really a faith at all. You and I are called upon to live our faith in this world. It's like somebody said years ago, a ship in a harbor is safe, but that's not what a ship is meant for. Your faith may be, oh, I believe in God. Your faith may be, oh, I've always loved God. Oh, your faith may be, you know, I've always been in church. I'm a good person. It may be any number of things. But the fact is that it is not until your faith is challenged that you own it personally. When somebody comes to you and they knock on your door and say, hi, I'm with the Watchtower Society, your faith is being challenged. When you go through a hard time and you prayed and prayed and prayed and say, dear God, meet this need, please meet this need, and the need does not get met the way you want it to, your faith is being challenged. When you sin, when you fall, when you mess up, when you embarrass yourself, your family, and the Lord, I'm telling you, your faith gets challenged, and it must needs be. If we don't have those kind of dilemmas, you're going to have heresies. And you know, when you read the Bible, you find that this is not something God does by accident. You may remember with me in your minds about the splitting of the kingdom of Israel. Israel was a great kingdom of 12 nations, but there came a point when Solomon passed off the scene, and because of his marriages with all these other women from other nations and his erecting of gods and for his wife's sake and all that, God said, you know, I'm going to rip the kingdom out of your hand for the most part. I'm going to give you two parts, but you're not going to have the whole thing. So Rehoboam comes to the throne. Rehoboam says, you know what, I'm going to treat these people a little bit more deliberately than my dad. I'm going to be a little harder on them. And everybody leaves, and they say, we're not going to follow you anymore. We're going to get our own king. So Rehoboam gets his horses and his men and his battalions together, and he's ready to head out the door and go whip everybody into shape and get them back under his authority. And God sends a prophet to him and says, don't go out against Israel. This thing is from me. What thing? The splitting of the kingdom. You see, God gave factions in Israel for a purpose. And here's what the core of the purpose is. The core of the purpose of divisions is that you, if you really have the true faith, may be manifested to other people. For them, the center of worship in Israel was the temple, was the priesthood, was Israel Jerusalem in Israel and in Judah. What happened in the northern kingdom is they erected a god, a golden calf, and they called the golden calf Jehovah. Folks, today, in this day, we have a ton of golden calf religions that are saying, that's your Jesus. And it had to happen. Because it is incumbent upon every man, woman, boy, and girl to choose the Jesus of the Bible.